It is now my great pleasure to call upon Reverend Dr. Kwek Swan Yu to give the message for tonight, the prophetic ministry today. Reverend Kwek.
President, Principal, Board of Directors and Faculty of Far Eastern Bible College, graduates, students of Far Eastern Bible College, friends and every worshipper, greetings to one and all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The prophetic ministry today is a ministry that is global. Whether we like it or not, the technology that we live in, that we are exposed to, has reduced this earth of ours into a global village in more ways than one. The text for our consideration this evening is taken from 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. A passage that describes to us the precarious and the dangerous spiritual environment that we are living in. It says, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 3. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. But through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Amen. These are the words of warning from the Apostle Peter, describing a time that was 2,000 years ago, which is far more significant 2,000 years later in the 21st century. Why are we warned against false prophets and false teachers? Jesus also warned us that before his return, there will be false Christ and false prophets who will return in the last days to undermine the faith of many, because many of them will believe these evil men. That's what he says. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, the ways that are destructive, not physical destruction, but spiritual. That is their intent. From the Roman Catholics, their voice is one of salvation in Jesus Christ, but incomplete. You must follow the traditions of their church. From the Charismatics, it is experience that matters. The Word of God is to be ignored. The Word of God is to be pushed aside. Our experience will dominate and dictate and determine what is right and what is wrong. How could grown men and women speak gibberish and believe that it is communing with God? Is that not deception? Delusion? And then we have the new evangelicals, the most dangerous of them all. It is a mindset of compromise. It is a mindset of undermining the very fabric of our faith, that the Word of God can have mistakes, but never mind, it is okay. As long as your salvation is secured, it does not matter whether the Word of God has mistakes or not. These are the voices that we hear today. The many false prophets and false teachers that abound all over the world, in America, in the many seminaries in America, pervading into the many churches all over America. And it has spread across Christendom like wildfire that cannot be controlled. This is the midst of the environment that the prophetic ministry today must fight against. It is like David against Goliath. It is like swimming against a very strong tide of ecumenism and the attack of God's word. What can we do? We are so small in numbers. Our voice is more like the voice in the wilderness. Who will hear such a cry? And yet, we realize that throughout the ages, there has always been a cry in the wilderness for those who stand on the side of truth and righteousness. They will always be in the minority. Jeremiah was alone, so was Isaiah, so were men like Daniel and Ezekiel, so was Moses, even his own people were against him. So were men like Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. If we are in the number game, then we have already lost. But when it comes to truth, it is not a number game. When it comes to right and wrong, it is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities in high places. It is a spiritual warfare and struggle where the victory is not measured by numbers, but by truth, by faithfulness, by God's standard. And that is the prophetic ministry, not only for today, that has been the same throughout the ages. And it has never changed, and it cannot change, and it will never change. The moment it changes, we become false teachers and false prophets. Reverend Toll called the Far Eastern Bible College a college for the training of prophets. Are there modern day prophets today? There definitely are. For the ministry of the prophets are basically twofold. First, it is meant for the declaration of God's truth, forth-telling. It is to point out the sins of kings, sins of presidents. It is a ministry of courage and strength, where you fear no man, where you put your life in the hands of God and you go out and declare the word of God. As the word of God says, you just declare it with no apology, no fear of man, but only the fear of God propelling you on. That's forth-telling. If there is sin, you must preach against sin. If there is error, you must expose error. And all the more we need such courage today. Foretelling, the ministry pertaining to future events. And we know that from the Bible there are many prophecies of God pertaining to the last days remain yet to be fulfilled. And as long as we declare these prophetic events that remain to be fulfilled, we are fulfilling the foretelling ministry of the prophet. We do not agree with the prophetic ministry of the charismatics. They have written in their books that in order for the churches to be strong, we must restore the apostolic and the prophetic ministry today. And for them, it is an unbiblical concept. For them, it is to add to the scriptures with their manifold prophecies. But as long as your future events are grounded in God's truth, and you declare it boldly, such as the second coming of Christ, such as the great tribulation that will befall this world, such as declaring to them that if you die in your sin without a Savior, you're going to end up in the lake of fire. These are future events where it involves the second death, the destruction of hell, of sin, of Satan. All remain to be fulfilled in the future. When you declare them and you preach against sin, you are fulfilling the twofold ministry of the prophet. And therefore, the prophetic ministry today is very much alive and very, very much needed in our age and in our time. Because the false prophets are so many. Their voices are so loud. You find them in every bookshop. You find them in the internet. You find them in the newspaper. You find them everywhere. And that's why the urgency and the need for the true voice from the true prophets of God are most needful and necessary. Because we are talking about the souls of men, women and children. We are not playing a game where all you lose is just a few dollars, a few gold bars. We are talking about the souls of men and women and children. that if they embrace errors thinking that it is truth, they will die and they will end up in hell for all eternity. There is nothing worse than a person who thinks he is saved when in reality he is not saved. And when they are not saved, they're not going to find out in this lifetime. They're going to find out when they die, and by then it is too late to believe. And that is where the battle is, and that's where the Apostle Peter has to remind us of the urgency of the need that we live in very momentous and very perilous times. And that's why he used very strong words to describe these people who privily, secretly shall bring in damnable heresies. The word heresies is good enough to expose who they are, but he had to heighten, emphasize the danger and the damage that these false prophets and false teachers are propagating. Damnable heresies. Because they will truly damn souls into the lake of fire. And God says they will deny the Lord that bought them and bring unto themselves swift destruction. They are not going to escape. The swift destruction will come. It's only a matter of time. But the saddest thing is the damage that they will do in the lives of men, women and children. These are very sincere people. They truly, sincerely follow these people. Because that's the word used. Follow. Follow their pernicious ways, their destructive ways. And that is why, graduates, do not fail the Lord. Do not fail the task that you have been called to do. In every capacity, for the ladies, you have to teach, especially the children. Develop good, strong Sunday school material to do your part. From the youngest to the oldest, for men, if you are called to be pastors, preachers and teachers, you have to expose these false teachers and false prophets so that your loved ones and family members will not follow their pernicious ways, their destructive ways, destroy their lives. You know how precious and important lives are? Those hours and years that they wasted in promoting Satan's kingdom when they have always sincerely believed that they were promoting God's kingdom, when in fact it has been Satan's kingdom that they have been promoting. That's how destructive their ways are. And these people didn't even know. And even if they find out right now, those years will not come back to them. Those years when they have been promoting an erroneous, dangerous, pernicious, damnable heresy. Those years will not come back to them. They are lost. And all they could do is to repent and beg for God's mercy. And then trying to undo, it's going to be hard. Manasseh was a king, one of the worst kings of Judah. He came to believe when he was captured, while he was in prison. When he returned to his own kingdom in Judah, he tried to undo all the damage he did. It was during his reign that God invoked the punishment that was irrevocable. The Babylonians will come and destroy Judah, and Judah will be removed from the land of promise. He came back as a believer. He tried to preach the gospel to tell them, please repent. Destroy all the idols. The nation did not listen to him. Was Manasseh saved as a person? Yes. But could he undo all the damage he did? He could not. A nation was destroyed because of what he did. He was the king who ruled the longest. And the damage he did as an unbelieving, idolatrous king could not be reversed, even though he himself was saved. Later on in his years as a king. And that is happening today. The lives of your sons, the lives of your daughters, the lives of people closest to you who have imbibed in your erroneous doctrine. Now that you have found out and you are saved, your eyes have been opened. But what about them? What about them? That is why these are damnable heresies. Many shall follow the pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. That's exactly what they have been doing. Truth, they say, it is evil. Don't listen to them. How can Christians reject the doctrine that the Bible you hold in your hand is perfect? To me, it is something unimaginable. Why would Christians defend a Bible with mistakes happily and with zest and zeal and fervency? Cannot imagine that. But this is the world, this is the time that we're living in. Are they sincere? Yes, we do not doubt anybody's sincerity. But whether they are right or wrong, that's a different matter. The Bible has always been perfect. The Bible, from the moment God inspired it, preservation has started. God is the one who inspired, God is the one who preserved, and throughout the ages, God's people have always been given the perfect Word of God. No generation was without the perfect Word of God, because God knows how important the Word of God is, because without the Word of God, man cannot be saved. God wants to save us. Why would God spend so much time, took so much trouble to inspire His Word of God throughout a period of more than 1,500 years, and He couldn't be bothered to preserve it? God is not so short-sighted and so foolish. He understands the significance and importance of the Word of God in the lives of sinners more than all of us combined together. Without the Word of God, the Spirit of God can't use the Word of God to convert us from sinners to saints. Without the Word of God, you and I cannot mature and grow in the Lord Jesus Christ to become more like Christ. Why would God not protect His Word, preserve His Word, and defend His Word? This verdict demonstrated God's defense. Right from the very beginning, we were told not to talk about doctrine. Right from day one, our lawyers told us, our lawyers received instruction from the court, don't talk about doctrine. And so we did not talk about doctrine. And we were penalized because of doctrine in the first verdict of the High Court. And so we still did not talk about doctrine during the entire 5-day trial. Dr. Jeffrey Koo was prepared. He could not, because he was not questioned. He expected them to, but they did not do it. And so throughout the entire trial, we did not argue or we did not defend doctrine. We could not, we were told not to. And then when the judgment came out from the appeal court, God Himself defended His Word, didn't He? He used the independent, objective arguments of three judges, the highest court in the land of Singapore, to vindicate His own truth, His own Word. It's as if God is telling all of us, you need Me more than I need you. Understand this. And if I ever chose you to defend and earnestly contend that the faith that I have been passing down from one generation to the next, it is your greatest honor and privilege. Do not drag your feet. Do not feel that it is a chore. It is an honor for you to defend My Word, because I can defend My own Word, and God did He not? And now every time when somebody studied this case, they will have to read about VPP. They have to read about the Westminster Confession of Faith. They have to read so many things about this doctrine, and it is now sealed, etched in the law courts of Singapore. That's how amazing God is. That's how high He regards the Word of God. And that's how we too must regard the Word of God. Learn a lesson from a young boy. A young boy who was given a very, very frightful dream by God Himself. He was told that his foster father was a great sinner. And the next morning, his foster father asked him, what did God say to you in your dream at night? Now this is not a figment of my imagination. This is found in the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 3. The young boy is Samuel. The foster father is the high priest Eli. God said to young Samuel, Eli will be punished by me. He is not a good priest, neither is he a good father. He will die. Now, if you are a young boy, your foster father asks you, what did God say last night? What would you do? Afraid? It's not a nice message, isn't it, to tell this foster father, an elderly man, an old man. God says you are a bad priest. God says you are a bad father. You're going to be punished. You're going to die. And that's a terrible, terrible message to give, isn't it? But that was the test that young Samuel had to pass. That was the test that he cannot afford to fail, because that was the test that will mark his entire life as a prophet of God. And the Bible said he passed with flying colors. The Bible said he told him every whit. Every word he did not add, he did not subtract. In other words, a true prophet is someone who will never add to God's word, neither must he subtract from God's word. Whatever the word of God says, he says. He is not there to scratch the itching ears of any man. He's here to declare, thus saith the Lord, this is what the word of God says. If the word of God says you have sinned, you have sinned. Without apology. And that is the kind of prophets that we need today. And young Samuel had set the tone for every true prophet. Not because he was a young boy or we are grown adults. It is the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God that must fill the prophet, that enable him to have this kind of courage and strength to stare the enemy in the face and declare the word of God without fear, without favor. And he did it. And the ministry will involve some painful, painful ministries. Jeremiah was told, before you could build, before you could help them grow, you must break down, you must destroy. And therefore, you have to preach against sin before you can teach them how they can love Christ, how they can go to heaven. You have to destroy their evil ways, their sinful ways. And nobody likes to be told that you are a sinner. You need to change. You need to repent. But that is exactly what the prophetic ministry is all about. And we need such prophets today, even more than yesterday. May God be merciful to bless this batch of graduates with strength and courage as they begin their ministry as prophets and prophetesses.